From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The Syria question in incredible fast flux today. The president ramping up for a big speech to rally support for a military strike authorization. Congress, or much of it, running the other way. Suddenly, a Russian push to disarm Syria of chemical weapons. And last night on Fox News, President Obama saying that sounds good, too.
We will pursue this diplomatic track. I fervently hope that this can be resolved in a non-military way.
Now, Syria says they'll do it, put their chemical arsenal under international control. But are they for real? Is Russia? Is a strike threat still required? This hour on Point, Syria, Washington, and the Russia move. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Is this a blessing, a ruse, a U.S. win? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first from Washington today is Peter Baker, White House correspondent for The New York Times. He's former Moscow bureau chief for The Washington Post, co-author of Kremlin Rising, Vladimir Putin's Russia and the End of Revolution with Susan Glasser. Peter Baker, welcome back to On Point.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Whipsaw, you call it. Is Washington now taking this seriously?
They are taking it seriously, and maybe they shouldn't. Certainly, there's a great deal of skepticism in a lot of places in Washington, but I think that this comes along in a moment when, frankly, President Obama and everybody else was kind of looking for a way out. The public doesn't want a strike on Syria. Congress doesn't seem to want it, at least in the House. And the president was looking at what could have been a very debilitating defeat in Congress. So this at least allows the possibility of avoiding that, even though everybody's kind of looking at it with a little bit of grain of salt.
It was only yesterday when Secretary of State John Kerry was offering this just as a kind of throwaway line when somebody asked him if there was anything that Syria could do to avoid a U.S. strike. Here was Kerry.
Sure, he could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community in the next week. Turn it over, all of it, without delay, and allow a full and total accounting for that. But he isn't about to do it, and it can't be done, obviously.
Can't be done. I mean, we'll talk in this hour about what could be done in a timely fashion and what might be impossible. But then the Russians just jumped on this in such a big hurry. How do you read this, Peter? Was Kerry looking for some kind of way out, or was that truly just a throwaway line, never going to happen idea?
I don't think he meant this as a serious proposal. I think he was sort of saying, in the same vein of saying, if Bashar al-Assad turned himself over to the International Criminal Court, of course,
yeah,
we could avoid, I didn't think he really thought this was a serious possibility. But the Russians, whether it is a serious possibility or not, were happy to jump on, happy to use it as a way of inserting themselves into the debate, making themselves relevant. Let's be open at least to the possibility that this might work.
And now Syria has come back and said, not just their foreign minister, but Damascus has said, yes, we'll do this. And here we are with the speech tonight that was supposed to be all about, please authorize a military strike, and Congress looking at all of this. I mean, how do the timetables line up here, Peter? Does anybody think this could be committed to in a way that the whole world could buy, believe, in a timely fashion? Does Obama still want that authorization? Does he still need it?
Well, that's all very good questions, and I think you'll hear a little bit more about this tonight. My guess is what you'll see is the president will come out and say he still wants the authorization, that the only reason why Bashar al-Assad is even entertaining this is because of the threat of force, and that therefore, in order to maintain the leverage that that Obama says we have right now, Congress should follow through with this. Having said that, the Senate immediately yesterday put off its voting on this, and I think that this complicates the whole congressional debate because a lot of lawmakers will look at this and say, well, wait a second, why should I vote to go to war if there's a way out? And let's just hold off. We'll just wait and see. And that's going to be the attitude for a while. And there's so many complications, as you alluded to whether this could actually work. And we could talk about those. But there's a lot to get from point A to point B to make this a serious possibility.
Let's say that Congress did authorize the military strike. And that is a completely open question, even unlikely at this point. But let's say they did. Or they didn't, and the White House decided to do it anyway. Have you heard what would it take in terms of evidence of true cooperation from Syria in getting these under international control, moving toward their destruction, for the White House to stand down on a strike, and for how long, Peter?
Yeah, those are all good questions we don't have the answer to. I think what you would see, and you've already seen the French raise this, is trying to get this codified into a United Nations Security Council resolution of some sort. Mm-hmm. So the way the Americans could come back, and certainly the French have already started to, is to call the bluff, if it's a bluff, and say, fine, let's put it in writing, let's make it binding according to the Security Council, and let's put serious consequences in there if it doesn't happen. And that way, in fact, you cement in this threat of force, and you get international imprimatur behind it by having the Security Council say there is a way out, but if not, we're not going to stop the Americans from bombing if it comes to that.
That would essentially, I guess, call Russia's bluff. They would have to be serious enough about it that they would believe it would happen, so that sort of Chapter 7 intervention with UN sanction didn't move forward.
Exactly, and that's why this whole thing could easily come undone. You know, negotiating a resolution is not an easy idea. And then, how do you actually verify it, right? Do we actually have a full accounting of what chemical weapon stocks Bashar al-Assad actually has? Probably not. Could we guarantee that we've gotten them all out of the country? Very dubious proposition, especially in the middle of a civil war, where you're sending all these UN inspectors to collect chemical weapons in the middle of fighting, very complicated, and as my colleague David Sanger writes, it's not the same thing as simply picking up parts of a nuclear centrifuge. The chemical weapons is a more complicated situation in terms of extraction.
Is this potentially coming out as a win for Obama? I mean, I hate to even go to that, but this whole thing is so politicized. Is it possible that the political array in Washington would let the president come out saying, look, we did it. We got to peace. The Nobel Peace Prize winner took us to peace with the threat of war.
It's possible. It's possible that it be just viewed as simply avoiding a loss. And in the current environment, maybe that is a win. But I think there's a long way to go between now and then to figure that out. It's easy to see. You know, the Russians have done this before. This is not the first time. Even with Syria, they just a few months ago said, "Hey, you know, let's have a Geneva peace process, and we'll make that happen." Everybody got all excited. Said, "Well, there may be the way to finally put some resolution to the civil war," and then it all fell apart. So, you know, and they've done this before the Gulf War, before the Kosovo War, before the Iraq War of 2003. They like to get in the last minute and position themselves as a peacemaker, intermediary, what have you. And yet, to the Americans, it often feels like a disruptive rather than a helpful role.
Peter, you're at the White House. Do you see any hint here of some kind of quid pro quo? I mean, it takes my mind back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the public story was, of course, that the missiles went out of Cuba. What we weren't told was that JFK agreed to take missiles out of Turkey. Right. Do you think Russia might ask, you know, some price for this, kind of getting President Obama off the hook?
Well, you know, we don't know what we don't know, right? It took quite a while till we did learn about that with JFK.
Yeah.
I think in this case, though, at least on the surface, what you know is that what they would get out of it is something that they really want, which is to say to be a central player. Vladimir Putin, the Kremlin, you know, they're driving their foreign policy is often this sense of don't forget about us, don't pretend we're second players, mm-hmm. We are important still on the world stage, respect us, you know, pay attention to us, and this would put them in the driver's seat.
Peter Baker, White House correspondent for The New York Times. Peter, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This was The Sound yesterday from Moscow. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov committing to working with Russia's ally Syria to get international control of their chemical weapons, interpreted here by NPR's Corey Flintoff.
He said that if the establishment of international control over chemical weapons makes it possible to avoid strikes, then we will immediately get to work with Damascus.
Immediately get to work with Damascus and maybe get President Barack Obama right off the hook of a very thorny situation. With us now from Washington, Joseph Cerincione, president of Plowshares Fund. It's a global security foundation. A member of Secretary of State John Kerry's International Security Advisory Board, Council on Foreign Relations. Joe Cerincione, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be back.
Are you buying this offer? I'm looking at some voices out of Washington saying, you know, Russia is playing Washington like a fiddle. How do you look at this?
I think the administration has struck exactly the right pose. Let's take a hard look at this. Syria may want a way out. Russia wants a way out. The president wants a way out. There may be enough meat on this offer to actually make a meal out of it. So I think everyone should be taking this very seriously and testing it.
Is it practically doable? I mean, you've written about nuclear and biological
sure.
and chemical threats. Could the United States or international group, the UN, get in a timely fashion, know what was there, get a lock and key on it and feel satisfied that, you know, this had actually been done.
Yes, but it'll take time. And here's things. There are major uncertainties with securing and then eliminating this very large chemical arsenal in Syria, but there are fewer uncertainties than conducting military strikes. So there's nothing about Syria that's going to be easy, including this, but it is doable. Here's things we have going for us. Number one, we have an international organization in place that knows how to do this. This is the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, mm-hmm. the organization in charge of eliminating chemical weapons around the world.
And they've Russia's talking about getting them in there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's international. So it's not the mm-hmm. U.S. that goes in. It's an international. These guys are skilled. They have experience. They've eliminated nuclear weapons in over a dozen countries. They've made inspections in 86 countries. So you have that apparatus ready to go. Number two, we have a pretty good idea of where the weapons are, although not complete. French intelligence says they have about 1,000 tons of various chemical agents, including nerve gas. Mm-hmm. And we believe they're stored at about 5 major sites, including 2 Scud bases at Hama and al-Sarifa. So we have an idea where the bulk of the agent is. We can start identifying it and securing it almost immediately.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Russia's surprise push for international control and disarmament of Syria's chemical weapons, and whether this is a game changer, a way out of U.S. military action, out of crisis. Yesterday, Syria's foreign minister responded positively to Russia's proposal, and today more affirmation out of Damascus that Syria would do it, bring in international overseers and dismantle.
I'm announcing the Syrian Arab Republic welcomes the Russian initiative to preserve the life of our citizens and the security of our country.
The president with a tough juggling act now. He's talking to Congress and the nation tonight about the need for congressional authorization of a military strike, at least the authorization. But here he's got this offer on the table. How serious is it? Here he is talking with, well, everybody last night, but including here CBS's Scott Pelley.
I think that it is a potentially positive development. I don't think that we would have gotten to the point where they even put something out there publicly had it not been, and if it doesn't continue to be a credible military threat from the United States and those who support serious responses to what happened inside of Syria.
Skeptical, but let's check it out. Washington biting on Russia's, Moscow's offer to push for this. John McCain, skeptical, but says let's test it.
I'm very skeptical, and we should be, since Bashar Assad has refused to acknowledge that he even has chemical weapons. But I think the best test right away would be the Syrian acceptance of international monitors to go to these chemical weapons sites and get them under control immediately.
Joseph Cirincione is with us, president of the Plowshares Fund, a security foundation in Washington. Joseph Cirincione, how do you read this diplomatically? Russia's pushing for this. It's put them right in the middle of all this. Lots of global response to this. People would like to see it as real. Washington need to continue to hold the threat of a strike of military action over this whole scenario for this to stay on the table, to be real?
Well, first of all, you want Russia involved in this. We've wanted Russia from the beginning. They've refused. They've stayed aloof. They've been protecting Assad. Well, now they're right in it, and they may help us accomplish our major goal, which is to remove these weapons from the battlefield, to prevent their use, to prevent them being used to slaughter innocent men, women, and children. So if you can do that diplomatically, well, that's a victory. So President Obama may be able to snatch a victory out of what looked like the jaws of defeat at the U.S. Congress. Second, Iran is also backing this. Iran, which is, as you know, is a victim of chemical weapons attack and which has publicly criticized the use of chemical weapons in Syria, is interested in this solution too, which is also a good thing because you have major strategic interests with Iran. You want to conduct a nuclear deal with them to end their nuclear program. It'd be a win to have them involved in this as well. Will Washington go along with this? I would expect that members of Congress, including Senator McCain, are going to be redrafting resolutions over the next couple of days that would authorize the use of force. There's a strong belief in the Senate that only the threat of use of force got Syria to agree to this, and they want to keep that alive. So I think you might see a revamped authorization for the use of force, saying that you could use force if Syria does not complete this deal.
Keep it. So he's still going to push for that authorization, you expect? You think he needs it or not?
Well, he could go either way. The president has indicated that he wants it. I think you're going to see senators who want it, both to deal with the Syria case and for the larger strategic purposes. Some feel this is a prelude to requesting authorization for the use of force with Iran. And if you thought the debate over Syria was something, wait till we get to Iran. But the president could also just pause. He could use, a pause for a couple of weeks or so. And, you know, we have time. This is a serious threat, but it isn't urgent threat. We don't need to lock up their chemical weapons in the next week or so. We could spend a few weeks, and it's going to take a few weeks just to get the inspection apparatus in place, get the deal hammered out. And then, by the way, just to complete the discussion we're having before the break, it will take months to actually put this in operation and potentially years to actually eliminate the nuclear weapons. The chemical weapons. Yeah. It's a complicated process, and you want to eliminate them in place. You don't want to be moving these things around in ships or planes.
Months and years while a civil war rages here, at least for now. I mean, talk about a complicated scenario, but it's what's on the table that's got everybody's attention. Joe, please stand by there. We'll bring in an expert on the Syria front in a moment. But first, on the Russia front, I want to welcome Fiona Hill. She's director of the Center in the United States and Europe. She's all over Russia, co-author of Mr. Vladimir Putin and the Siberian Curse, big Russia expert. Fiona Hill, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
So what do you see in this move by Russia? Do they just want to be in the center of things, or do they have a real interest in a solution here?
They do have a real interest in a solution. Russia has been trying right from the very beginning to stand firm against international intervention. For months now, Putin's been out there almost alone, with the notable exceptions, obviously, the Chinese and the Iranians and a handful of others, of trying to slow down the inevitability that everybody else saw of some form of international intervention or U.S. intervention into the Syrian civil war. They've been looking for a way to change the game, to change the move the goalpost, change the whole discussion, and they've succeeded. I mean, it's fascinating in listening to the discussion and to listening to what Joe has laid out here, that now we're talking about our major goal being not to prevent further escalation of the Syrian civil war or to find a solution for the civil war per se, but to remove chemical weapons from the battlefield. This is perfect for Putin, because this then does play to something where Putin and the Russians have a real expertise. We're back at the UN. We're looking at inspections. Russia has played a very important role over time in removing its own nuclear arsenal from dangerous situations, in helping with the denuclearization of Ukraine and Kazakhstan after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And of course, the Russians, as we well know, have a particular interest and specialization in the chemical weapons realm, especially in Syria, where they've been part of the creation of this arsenal.
Let me ask you here, though, in accepting this Russian plan and running with it, would the United States, the international community, be in effect accepting that Bashar al-Assad will win and stay in power? After all, that's what Russia and Iran really want here.
Well, this is going to be something we're going to have to tread very carefully with. In terms of keeping Assad in place, the Russians are very utilitarian about this. It isn't about Bashar Assad in himself. It's about stability in Syria and preventing a further widening of this conflict into the region around, including into Russia, where there are great concerns about spillover and blowback from the Syrian collapse. Joe was talking about months and years in terms of getting this process underway. Putin also has to buy for time. He's got the Sochi Winter Olympics come up, which has been a major focal point of discussions in the press and elsewhere about this. He's really worried about terrorist attacks emanating from groups that have been operating in Syria, groups that have formerly operated in Russia during the war in Chechnya, bringing violence to Russia again, at a what is going to be a very important event for him. It's coming up very fast,
That, he could look like a big peacemaker just as the Olympics come on the scene, I guess. Fiona Josterson, please stand by. Cecile in Riverside, Connecticut. Cecile, what do you think?
Hi, Tom. I'm curious why nobody's making this point. I was listening to Secretary Kerry, and I know how his off-the-cuff remarks sound, and I think this was not an off-the-cuff remark. I think this was a pretty brilliant diplomatic strategy that was discussed with the parties, and it's a brilliant way out for everyone.
So Kerry sort of playing tennis here, diplomatic tennis with Lavrov, setting it up for Lavrov's smash. How about it, Fiona? Do you think this was orchestrated or really just Lavrov jumping on something here?
Well, all these things are possible. There was this pull aside at the G20 summit just a couple of days ago, over the weekend, in fact, on Saturday, that the press picked up on, but no one knows exactly what was discussed there. There was this sidebar where Putin grabs hold of Obama and in front of everyone takes him to one side. They said that they discussed Syria. As I said, the Russians have been looking for some time to find a way out of this. It's the stage is set with chemical weapons. It's been the one area where everybody's been trying to figure out, can we get the Russians on board? As Joe has said, the Russians are going to be important players no matter how we look at it on this. You mentioned as we moved over to the mm-hmm. question about Putin wanting to look like a peacemaker. Putin actually goaded Obama a week or so ago by saying, here you are, the Nobel laureate. Can't we think of something else other than the use of force? That was picked up during Obama's speeches in Stockholm.
That must hurt.
You know, this is all... It's entirely possible that this could have been set up by these interactions behind the scenes.
I can't help wondering still about a quid pro quo. I mean, one thing presumably Russia wants when this is all over is to still have its naval base there in Syria. What about an American promise? Whoever wins, you can have the base. Just get us out of this mess.
I think the base is a little bit of a red herring here.
Okay.
It's not that big a deal for the Russians. What is a big deal for the Russians is the international involvement here. The Russians are never keen at all on unilateral moves, certainly U.S. moves. The U.N. is really one of their great playing fields. Sergei Lavrov cut his teeth there. They really know what they're doing in the U.N. context. They really want to keep this international, and maybe that's the quid pro quo. We keep it international. We keep it focused. It's all done within the United Nations.
John Kerry, as we speak, making some skeptical remarks about this, saying that they'll wait for the Russian proposal but won't wait for long. Peter in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Peter, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Oh, I'm glad I'm on. What I see, you know, I see like Russia making real peace. And you guys, I'm sorry, U.S. looks like wants war. Another thing I want to tell, just... don't attack Putin. I know it's a taboo. You know, it's taboo in U.S. You want to see Putin in dark side. You want to see him bad guy. But it's not necessarily the case.
Listen, we're listening. We're listening today. It sounds as though you're Russian, Peter. Are you impressed with this? Are you proud of this proposal?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Tom. I am impressed. I am really. I don't want. Nobody wants war, but. At least, well, it's real deal, you know. Why not? Why are you skeptical all the time? I tell you one more example, skeptical. Who should trust whom?
Well, I mean, John Kerry saying today, Peter, you know, sort of making a forceful case. This is Jonathan Carl of ABC reporting. Kerry saying today Russians can't be trusted on Syria. They've even blocked press releases on humanitarian concerns there. But you say be open-minded, and right now, I mean, the world is kind of eager to be if there's a way out. Peter, I appreciate your call very much. One more, Estefan in Hampton, Minnesota. Estefan, you're on the air.
How are you? I just like to make a comment. Vladimir Putin is trying to bully President Obama, trying to embarrass the president. Putin is a man that cannot be trusted, first of all. Now, the president of the United States has a golden opportunity right now to tell the Russians, okay, you want to work a treaty with these chemicals, take that file, put it out of the arsenal and safety, destroy them. You should tell them, let's go after the Iranian as well to dismantle the nuclear development as well.
Wrap it all up in one big package, the chemicals and the nuke. That would be sweet. That would be great if we could pull it all off. Maybe something like that. It would be embedded in this if we managed to negotiate something here and get off the military track. That would be great. But, you know, I don't know. Everybody's going to be watching. The French foreign minister here saying, look, let's put this into the UN Security Council and let's get it in a shape that would not be so easily or blithely signed off on for Moscow. Let's put some teeth into this. Here was the French Foreign Minister, Laurent Fabius.
La première, c'est qu'il faut évidemment qu'il y ait un engagement à contrôler puis à détruire le stock.
Fabius said the proposal would be acceptable under three conditions. Assad would have to quickly put his chemical arsenal under international control and allow the weapons to be destroyed. Secondly, there should be sanctions if Syria fails to comply. And finally, those responsible for carrying out the attack would have to face prosecution before the International Criminal Court.
Maybe this would be the proof in the pudding, NPR's Corey Flintoff interpreting there. But Fiona Hill, what if this is put into a UN resolution, sort of a Chapter 7 deal, which would make possible military intervention, sanctions, if Syria failed to comply? Would that be the test to see whether Moscow is for real on this?
Well, it will be a test, and it'll be interesting to see how the Russians play that. As Peter, the questioner from Boston, made it clear, the Russians are really taking the high ground. They are trying to be very serious about this intervention, this proposal that they've put on the table. They're getting a lot of attention. People want it to be taken seriously. So the UN is the arena that they want to have that played out. And, of course, in the United Nations...
May I ask about that? You say they want it there, but they've pushed very hard for the UN to do nothing on this front because, of course, once you get a UN green light on something, Moscow has no more way to say no, to cite international law against intervention. Are you sure they would want that kind of what the French Foreign Minister is promoting here?
Well, they won't want necessarily what the French Foreign Minister is promoting. But once it's inside the United Nations, they will be able to try to push this in a different direction. So they wanted it right now taken out of the unilateral realm of the United States if they could. So the biggest concern that Putin had, looking back over the last week, was that the US was going to go it alone. And if the US was going to go it alone, he wanted to make sure that this was as unilateral as possible, with an awful lot of criticism from the outside about recklessness. Now it goes into the arena of the UN. The question is the level of proof. And Putin has already staked a very high bar for that. He's going to point back, we'll hear this over and over again, about the debacle over weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Wait a minute, I thought we were past that. I thought they were saying, let's go ahead and put it in international control, not go back and make and prove your case, United States. If that's what's coming, this sounds like really a big mess.
Well, I think what you're talking about is the next step. And it would be interesting to hear from Joe and others about what they think about this, because we're really getting other things on the table the whole time. And this is what Peter was saying at the very beginning. That this is something that's in constant motion. You get it onto one step. I think, actually, the Russians have won this time around in getting to the next phase, but it's all in the art of what happens next.
It depends on how the
contours of this are laid out.
Sure. Joe, do you see Russian and American interests lining up enough here, you know, that they might sincerely be on the same page for a minute around this?
Yes, I do. And it's not necessarily with the intention of either nation in the beginning of this process, but that's what's happening. We are now moving in a very positive direction. I believe it's moving faster than either the United States or Russia may have anticipated. So the burden really is on Russia at this point to see if it can deliver on this promise. But once you start talking about negotiations, getting people involved, ceasefires, protecting the inspectors that are there, that's the direction towards resolving this civil war.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Russia's surprise push for international control and dismantlement of Syria's chemical weapons and whether this is a game changer, a way out of U.S. military action, out of crisis. Fiona Hill is with us from the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Joe Cirincione's here from Plowshares Fund in Washington. And we'll hear from Josh Landis in just a moment. He was President Obama last night with his skeptical note of making reference back to Ronald Reagan on Russia, talking with NBC's Savannah Guthrie.
Are you skeptical? Does it seem like a stalling tactic?
I think a famous American president once said, trust but verify. You have to take it with a grain of salt initially, but between the statements that we saw from the Russians, the statement today from the Syrians, this represents a potentially positive development.
And Obama quotes Reagan, trust but verify. Lots, I must say, Fiona, Joe, lots of yes, yes, please response from listeners online here. David says, yes, it's the off-ramp to a crisis. Putin is showing more, I guess, leadership than us. Ashwin says, why wasn't this relatively sane proposal the first option? David says, we need to hold our nose, swallow pride, and get help from Russia and even Iran. And one more here from Hello Kitty. I don't think it matters whether the Russians came up with this plan or the Americans. If this means taking no military action, then awesome. Well, let's talk about how Syria may really be responding to this. From Norman, Oklahoma, we're joined right now by Joshua Landis. He's director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Spent 8 years or so in Lebanon, 4 in Syria, writes the blog Syria Comment, knows this region very well. Josh Landis, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
How do you think, what do you think is the real talk inside the Assad regime about this? Yes, let's get rid of these chemical weapons. They're just a pain at this point. They just get us in trouble. Or, oh my God, no, but we got to go along with this because Moscow's put it on the table.
Bashar and the people around him from the beginning of this conflict understood and said, if America doesn't invade, we can handle this uprising and try to suppress it. The big variable was whether the West invades. And as long as he can avoid a Western strike and an invasion, he believes that he can take on this insurgency and this rebellion. And he's probably right on a large – you know, we don't know how this ends, but he's right about the American invasion. As long as the West does not intervene, he has got a fighting chance of coming out of this alive and either getting half of Syria or a third or something of it. If America invades – obviously America can knock him out in a week.
You keep talking about invade. Nobody is talking about invade, though. I mean, people are very actively saying
destroying not. Destroying his power, destroying his air force, destroying his assets. And of course, McCain and others want to do that. Obama has not wanted to get involved in the Syrian conflict.
In many ways, that's
the most interesting part of this is because Obama has now become involved in the Syrian Civil War.
Yeah, but he's got his Secretary of State saying –
There are only 9 working days to get a new budget, to get other things. He's going to have – all the air in Washington is going to be sucked out by this issue.
Josh, I want to pull you right up to this point. I mean, big picture, we'll come back to it. I don't know about a knock-them-out strike. Secretary Kerry saying yesterday that an American attack would be – quoting the Secretary of State here – incredibly small. I don't know if he's just trying to squeak it through Congress there, but my question is very specific.
He's promised all things to all people.
Listen,
on this.
Here's the question, Josh. Do you think the Syrian government, Assad's government, would actually allow international inspectors and more to come in, show them where the chemical weapons were, let them control them, and let them dismantle them? Are they going to do that?
Look, at first we've got to argue in the UN. We just heard the French in your clip there saying that they want all the people who carried out this attack on trial. He's not going to allow that. That would ruin his regime. There's going to be a long fight over, do we just want to destroy the weapons or do we want to hurt Assad in the process? And the world is divided on this issue. Washington's divided on this issue. The Democratic Party's divided on this issue. They're going to wrangle about this for months. This is a win for Assad because he can draw this out and he puts him in the driver's seat with Russia. He can tell the Russians, I'll go along with the next step if you give me arms, conventional arms. If you're going to take away my chemicals, sell me more conventional arms or give them to me. And he hasn't gotten enough. He's only got 100 airplanes left and helicopters. He has been losing his power. This gives him a negotiating
new lease on life. But would he surrender to the precise point? Can you imagine a scenario in which he actually did surrender his nuclear weapons, hand over control and see them dismantled? It would be all right by him.
You know, look, if he gets more power, the point for him is regime survival and to win this battle against the insurgents. If Russia can give him conventional arms, if he can buy time, if he can avoid a Western intervention, then he's fine. He doesn't need the chemical weapons per se. Of course, it's humiliating to give them up. But if by giving them up, he can get other weapons and he can survive, then it's a worthwhile deal.
Joe Cirincione, is this Assad ending up the winner out of what was supposed to be some kind of punitive move for his use of chemical weapons?
Well, and the essence of any good negotiation is that all the parties have to leave the table declaring victory. So you want Assad to continue to see this as a win for him and Russia as a win for them and Obama as a win for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Assad agrees to this, we have made a major step forward, not just to disarming Syria, but perhaps bringing starting the process of bringing an end to the civil conflict. It is a slippery slope for him. Once you get this in the international arena, you get the parties at the table, you get a Geneva II process again. Remember, we already had one international conference in Geneva about ending the civil war. You bring that in again. It becomes very difficult for Assad to resist the kind of international pressures that could build on him. Remember, yesterday morning, Syria denied having chemical weapons. Yesterday afternoon, they were talking about how to destroy them.
Yeah.
This is major progress. Oh, let me just close with one thing.
Yes.
Although I'm proud to serve as an advisor to Secretary Kerry, my remarks are strictly my own opinions and don't represent those of the State Department.
Understood. Bonnie in Middlebury, Vermont. Bonnie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My question is, shouldn't Assad be punished in some way for his crimes? He's murdered thousands of people with chemical weapons, and now we're going to say, just turn over your chemical weapons and then everything will be fine. Shouldn't he be punished or tried in The Hague or something?
So you want justice or vengeance or something, but would you be satisfied with a step toward peace, Bonnie, or not?
It's a step towards peace, but it's not the ultimate solution, which is the way everyone's talking, as though it's some brilliant foreign policy move on Obama's part.
Well, I mean, he's playing in real time here. I don't know. Fiona, let me bring you in here. Does the world have to have a pound of flesh from Assad? Are the chemical weapons enough? And do you see this as Joe Cirincione does, as potentially a step toward a negotiated peace in Syria? Or maybe, if I read Josh Landis right, as he does, as a step toward a win for Assad?
Well, I would find myself right now more in the position of Joshua Landis. I mean, at this particular stage, this looks more to me like a win for Assad as well as for Putin, because both of them are getting what they wanted, which was to avert a unilateral U.S. intervention or a larger intervention, even if it is a minimal strike or whatever we're talking about at this particular juncture. It is possible, however, that we can turn things around, as Joe has outlined, into some kind of process. But I think that's where the skepticism is, with all due respect to everyone out there who says that we should seize this. The Geneva process, the first one was dead in the water. There's another process that we could put in place. There's a history of these kinds of processes that the Russians in particular have been involved in. They avoided a process like this for their own civil war in Chechnya, it needs to be said. And Putin held out, just as Joshua is laying out, Assad holding out, in front of fierce international criticism, and basically kept Chechnya under control. I think he thinks that Assad definitely has a fighting chance of doing the same. We've had 20 years of peace process getting absolutely nowhere in the Caucasus between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Georgia and Russia are in another Geneva process to try to resolve the aftermath of their 2008 war. Nothing happening there. I would just say that there's not a lot of prospect in this process, but Joe is right that if we really try to seize this and get ourselves back in the driving seat, and we're not the people applying the brakes. I mean, this is almost like a learner car where you have two sets of brakes, and Assad and Putin are right in there pushing the brakes.
Who's
really
hitting
fast
what
now?
I got it.
Yeah, so we have to wrest back the advantage here.
Joe and Josh, stand by for 1 second. I want to get Mark in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My point is that I hope Congress can move the president back to the point that Assad has to go. This is a very wicked man. And keep in mind that he said he doesn't have chemical weapons. He's never used them. And now he said he's going to give up his stockpile. So it's obvious that you're dealing with a person who's totally dishonest, and you can't negotiate and expect a reasonable outcome in someone from that framework. And just like with Saddam Hussein, we very belatedly came to the aid of the Kurds, who were suffered terribly with chemical weapons. The mistake there was to turn it into a ground war. But Hussein had to go and had to be held responsible, and his administration had to be held responsible. And the same applies to Syria. And I think we lost our focus right now. Assad has to go and be held responsible.
Well, Mark, I appreciate your call. Joshua Landis, two questions there. The first one is on this idea of a negotiated outcome here. Washington has said a couple of things, I think. They've said he has to go. They've also said the only solution to Syria is a negotiated solution. Do you see the dynamic that's unfolding in the last 24 hours pulling us on to a negotiated path? Do you see the possibility of success there, Josh?
Well, I think that the notion that there's going to be a negotiated solution to the Syrian civil war is a bit far-fetched, primarily because this has turned into an ethnic struggle, a sectarian struggle. The Alawites, Bashar's group, do not want to be ruled by Sharia law and in some kind of Islamic state. And almost all the rebel leaders are asking for Sharia law and an Islamic state. So what we most likely will happen is a division of Syria somewhere, with the Kurds hiving off in the northeast, an Arab-Sunni state, and then some kind of other state run by the Alawites and other minorities.
That's a negotiation of sorts, isn't it? And negotiating a breakup.
Well, it could be, or it could just be a stalemate, as we see now. And in America's policy, the only thing America fears worse than having Assad have chemical weapons is having the opposition get them. Because America doesn't trust the Syrian opposition, which is 1,200 militias. And that's what Dempsey was saying, is we don't have a
bunch of hardcore Islamists.
And that's the problem, is that if you destroy the regime, you're going to get a lot of militias that have these weapons and there's no return address. At least we can deter Assad, or at least there's a hope of deterring Assad. You can't deter 1,200 militias. And that's a dilemma that America's in.
Let me put then the other question to you, Josh. If there is any chance of Syria actually allowing international control of its chemical weapons, allowing the dismantlement of its chemical weapons, does Washington need the continued threat of a military strike? Does it need that congressional authorization to keep moving this forward? Or could it move without it at this point?
No, Obama needs to have that in his back pocket as he talks to both the Russians and the Syrians. If they believe for a second that he cannot get it passed, and he's not going to do this, they're going to draw out this process infinitely, and Obama will have to oblige them in letting it draw out in order not to look humiliated. And that's – he needs that that American backing from the Congress, and he's going to have to go to them tonight and make that speech and sell this to them.
Tanya in Concord, Massachusetts. Tanya, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a couple points. One is about the trust but verified. It's a wise comment, but the verification should not necessarily be like in the face of the person who is making the offer, because that ends up in losing face and it just ups the ante. I think if we are concerned about a humanitarian benefit here, we should be a little more humble in our approach and realize that there are many parties who are involved with many corrupt agendas and many involvements. And I remember Hillary Clinton referring to the interests of our allies, and Israel's allies are well known, and the issues are well known and well aired. But we don't talk as much about Turkey's involvement in this. And
Tanya, the president's making a big speech tonight. His press secretary is saying in the last couple of minutes that Obama will argue for a strike. The strike authorization tonight. Do you think the U.S. needs to continue to hold that threat or make that threat real over Syria to push this along, Tanya, or not?
I think it's obvious to everybody that that threat exists, and I think to posture at this point is going to make things more difficult for everyone.
Tanya, thanks for your call. We're short on time here. Joe Cirincione, what do you expect to hear in the midst of all this rapid-fire change and flux from the president tonight? What's the line he's going to try and walk?
This is a crime against humanity, that people have to be held accountable, not just for the slaughter of 100,000, but for the slaughters that could come with the continued use of chemical weapons, that there has to be a forceful international response to this. And he's also going to hold out the possibility of a negotiated solution, which is, in fact, his best option. Because let's remember, folks, as of yesterday, the president was going to lose the vote in Congress. There wouldn't be a military strike against Syria. And as you just heard Josh point out, if you do a major strike and actually weaken Assad and Assad collapses, you may get something far worse in Syria. There is no military solution to this. There's only a diplomatic one. That's why this path is being looked at so seriously. That's why it holds so much promise.
I mean, as we speak, we've got senators bailing out on the strike. Senator Rob Portman, says he's going to announce that he won't vote for a Syria strike. We've got Republican leader Mitch McConnell, who's been very quiet, saying he's going to be opposed to military strikes against Syria. Does it weaken the president's hand, his push for authorization to strike, Joe, to have this Russian offer on the table?
The best path for the president right now is to push for the authorization to continue to make his case, but not to have a vote this week. He needs to buy a little time to, let's see how this plays out, to push Russia to get real about this, to bring it to the UN Security Council. He needs to build up international and domestic support. This proposal is a way for him to do that.
Josh, can you picture international, I guess it would be, they'd have to be armed to be standing in Syria next to a chemical, weapons dump. I don't know, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, guarding those chemicals. Can you see it happening, Josh?
Well, the danger with letting this drag on is that it's very unpopular. Americans don't want it. The Congress thinks this is a way to get off the hook and not have to vote against their publics. So, it's not clear to me that Obama wins by drawing out this process. He needs to get in there, get the vote, and move the conversation to something else, like the budget. He's going to get sucked into this, and it's going to screw up his presidency if he gets sucked into the Civil War.
He'll be making the case tonight for a green light for a strike, we're told. But also, let's talk about the Moscow plan. Fascinating turn of events. Joshua Landis, Fiona Hill, Joseph Cirincione, thanks to all of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.